fear not. Fear not. In Lear, the character Gloucester asks King Lear if he can kiss his hand. And King Lear refuses to give him his hand because it stinks of mortality. It stinks of death. And he says, "Let me wipe it first." The news of our mortality is not news. It's not news at all. We're going to all die. And one of the realities that I have had to face is that should that virus come to my congregation, a good portion of my congregation would perish, and only the young would be left. That's very concerning to me as a pastor. Not only for those who die, but for those who are left behind. Sooner or later, you will die. And I want to tell you this about your death. It will not be premature. It will be no sooner or later than God plans for it to be. He has appointed the day for you to die. When the disciples were caught out in the Sea of Galilee and the winds and the waves were such that they thought that they were going to drown in it, they cried out and they said, "Lord, do you not care that we perish?" Now, just in case you forgot, that boat was full of disciples. That boat was full of the people who were the closest, nearest, and dearest to the Lord. And they thought they were going to perish in the threat of storm and wave on the Sea of Galilee. I share that image with you because here we are in our country and we have this threat of the pandemic hanging over our head like a lethal threat of storm. We are imperiled by what is going on around us. And I still say to you, fear not. That's not my word. That's the word of the Lord for you in this situation. As surely as we shall die, no less certainly has our Lord made preparation to receive you into his presence. Your death is certain, and your reception of heaven is certain. If you know Jesus and believe, you will never die, but live forever. We are living in a moment which I would describe as terrorism by disease. Does that make sense to you? We are being terrorized by disease. Christians cannot be terrorized. Our trust in Jesus is such that we know we never vanish from his sight. Although we may lose sight of him, he never loses sight of those who trust on his Son. Just as from heaven God saw Hagar, a pagan woman, and her son in the wilderness of Paran and said, "What is wrong with you, Hagar?" That wasn't a rebuke. That was, "What's going on with you, Hagar?" And then we learn from the text that not only had she been crying out to the Lord, but apparently the lad had been crying out too. What were they doing? They were praying. They thought they were going to die. There are a lot of Americans who are thinking now, they're going to die. And you know what? Some will. Their day is now. So God hears the distress that we're in. That's what we need. When the disciples were in distress on the sea, the Lord didn't stay in his heavens and pretend nothing was going on. He showed up. He spoke to them. He comforted them. He accompanied them. And that's what he does for his people now. God has sent his Son. His Son resides in the midst of his people, in the midst of the pandemic. Jesus Christ is here. We do not fear. And this is why we do not fear. Because we know that Christ died and rose again, as recorded in the book. Death has been vanquished by him. You have eternal life in your future. That's important for you to know. Your hope is in the hope of the resurrection. We are not afraid because Christ has gone there, done that, and returned. We are not to be as people who have no hope. We are not to be as people who have no God. For we have a God who is our hope. Now, those of you who've been around a while, you might recall that I nearly died 3 times since I came here to be pastor. I had a heart attack in Ohio. I had another cardiac incident in Maine. And not so long ago, I had encephalitis, and it nearly took me out. And I want you to know, I could have died. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I have officiated at many funerals, but I am no more or less mortal than those I eulogize and put to rest. I am made of the same stuff that they are. I reek of mortality, and so do you. But I am not afraid, because Christ has taken hold of me. His grasp on me is more important than my faith in him. He has and holds his own. Someday I will depart from here. But do you know where I go? It's not to the Caribbean. And not to Antarctica. And it's not to the moon. No, I actually get to go to realms eternal that Christ has prepared for those who love him. Christ has secured my future. I would that he had secured yours. I want you to know that Christ's deliverance has redeemed my past, and it steadies me for the present, because what Christ has done for me has brought me forgiveness of my sins and has purchased my entrance into eternity. By faith, we face the shuddering of our nation. It's pretty eerie to drive around and see no one there. But the pandemic that we are in lacks finality. Listen to me. It is here, and it will soon be gone. It is not permanent. It does not last. It cannot stand. And those who believe can truly say that they have put their trust in God. It's on all of our coins, you know. We use the money all the time. And we don't stop to think about, oh, as Americans, we say we put our trust in God. Do you? Well, the next time you handle a bill, answer the question. Have you put your trust in God? You're using his money. That's what we say. The Lord God is our rock. The Lord God is our refuge. The Lord God is our strength. And the Lord God is our salvation. Let me say to you something you need to hear. The virus is real. There will be deaths from its contagion. I acknowledge that reality, and I still say to you, do not fear. Do not give in to fear. I want you to take precautions. I want you to be wise. I don't want you to be foolish. I don't want you to toy with death. I don't want you to play with death. I don't want you to mess with death. When I say do not fear, I'm not saying be foolhardy. I'm saying be wise, but don't be afraid. You must not give in to desperation. If this world is all you have, I understand your desperation. Jesus said to Jairus, do you remember? Sir, your daughter, if you believe, is not dead. She but sleeps. But everyone around the house was weeping and wailing and mourning because they knew dead when they saw dead. But the dead do not know death when they see Jesus. And Jesus took her by the hand and raised her up, and she lived. Because there is no death with Jesus. He is the Lord of life. He is the Lord of the resurrection. We believe that He raised her from the dead. Mark 5, check it out. Oh, and then there's another time in John 11 where Lazarus grew sick and died. And Jesus said, I'm glad that he died. And everyone, wait a minute, isn't that your beloved, your friend? Why are you glad that he died? He said, because this is not about death. This is about the glory of God. Did I not tell you that you would see the glory of God? And then he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. Go ahead, check it out. My exegesis is good. I am glad for your sakes that this has come about. For this is not about death. This is about the glory of God. Your life is not about your death. Your life is about the glory of God. Have you got that straight? There are too many people in our world who live unto themselves. You're not to do that. You're to live unto God. I will raise him up. And then Jesus said, roll away the stone. And then he cried out and said, Lazarus, come forth. Guess what happened? These are words recorded in Scripture. You can study them in the book, or you could inscribe them in your heart. But these words that were spoken were recorded in Scripture so that they could be spoken to you. These are the words you need to hear. Your daughter is not dead. I am glad that Lazarus died that he might live again. These words are meant to give you consolation, comfort. When you have lost a loved one, Christ is more than the Lord of life. Yes, he is our Savior, and he holds power over death. More to be worshipped is the one who raises the dead than the devil who slays us. Are you listening? Fear God, and you need fear nothing else. I want to share with you that God is not like paper goods on the shelves of your local Hannaford. His strength for you is not rationed. It's never in short supply. It never is depleted. And more than that, it cannot be hoarded. You don't go to the store and come back with an empty cart because others got there first. Scarcities at the store remind us of how limited this world actually is. It reminds us that distribution is always a challenge and always a factor. Let me just share with you that a shortage of toilet paper is not lethal. It's inconvenient. But we can improvise, can't we? We can make do. And the way to cope with the selfish stalking going on by those who are panic-stricken is not to join them in their panic, but to keep the faith and wait it out, because it will soon be over. This pandemic cannot stand. It will pass away. And maybe consumables will come back to the shops, maybe not. You know, in this life, we can only control our response to the behavior of others. We can't control them. By faith, beloved, I want you to show restraint and calm and peace. I don't want you tussling with people for diapers in the shoppers' rows. It's okay, let it go. You show that you have confidence that there will be enough. You need to have peace in face of want. You need to adopt peace in the face of scarcity. You know what? You may not be able to have root beer for 2 weeks, but I'm pretty sure root beer will come back. Do not fear. Desperation drives up prices and drives us into panic. So, instead of panic, I have this word for you. Prayer. Don't panic. Pray. And Lord, we do pray. We pray for our healthcare providers and our facilities and our hospitals and healthcare centers and emergency care centers and ambulance drivers and places of rehabilitation, rest homes, old homes, nursing homes, and our homes. And it is good to pray to God that you might prepare and protect your own home. We ought to keep the rates of contagion down. We ought to keep our heart of mercy and compassion strong. We should ask God to protect us as we cope with those who are stricken, as we minister to those who are ill. Help us to provide ample space and time. Help us to be ministers where we live. Help us to pray for the young and the elderly and the homeless and the displaced. I don't know if you even thought about them. There are people facing this pandemic who have nothing. Nothing. Pray for them. We should pray for ourselves and for the strangers in our midst, just as you have told us to in your word. Don't let us barricade ourselves behind our fears. Don't let us put our panic out there like pylons in the street. Don't let us capitulate to this contagion to such a degree that we forget that people are dying of other things too. Let our care for those at risk not be so discriminating or so focused on the plague that we grow callous to those who have other illnesses and needs. And in the meantime, Lord, I ask that you would deal with the quacks and deceivers who are trying to take advantage of this panic to make money and bilk those who are at risk. Put them out of business. Those who are afraid, all around you, need the beacon of your fearless faith. Fearless faith. I wonder what that looks like. Natalie was teaching me something about this. You know, when she faced jail time and didn't know what was going to happen, and she was able to say, whichever way it goes, I have peace. Thank you, Natalie. I had faith in something different from her, and I won. She won, but I won. Amen? I looked at that and went, it's okay. I kept praying. I said, Lord, I want the charges dismissed. I want her to come home. I want her to be free. And God heard my prayer and your prayer. There are people who need the beacon of our fearless faith. That's what it looks like. They need to put Christ above everything. They need to understand that He is our safety net. He is our social security. He is our protection. And so we pray to Him for relief. And it's okay to pray for a vaccine. Lord, if you wish to work through medicine, please get on with it. But I don't want us praying so much for us as we pray for those who do not believe. Let us pray for those who are facing this crisis without the help of faith. Let's harness this crisis for your glory, Lord. May many come to faith who, apart from this alarm and shaking, would put off seeking their salvation and immerse themselves in drugs and sex and rock and roll. I'm serious. Save those who have yet to hear your name. This is my prayer, that the world's loss might be heaven's gain. May the focus on the now meld into a focus on something that lasts and persists forever. Don't live for today, live forever. I want us to help secure souls to yourself, Lord. Would you pray with me right now? May those who come to you out of this dark hour, Lord, prove genuine believers, not sometimes sunshine converts who mistake this disease for the wrath to come upon all the unrepentant. Lord, we pray that it would work for the salvation of souls, not their skins. So we earnestly ask for conversion. We pray that many would turn to God for Himself and not just for rescue, not just to escape danger, not just to alleviate their suffering or to curtail their sweat. Lord, we intercede for those who are stricken that they might recover. We pray that You would set our feet in a sure path. We ask that through us we would bring joy and thanksgiving to the hearts of many. May they, having partaken of Your mercy and grace, prove merciful and kind amongst their neighbors. Howsoever people are immunized against this virus, Lord, we pray that You would release them particularly to minister to others. We pray that You would swell the ranks of those secured by faith and that we might work together to tend the suffering. Make our need a better occasion for love and teach us how to love each other, Jesus, we pray in Your name. Amen. So the world has said, shut it down. Quarantine. But Jesus says, only believe. So the question I have is, to which will you hearken? Remember Gloucester? Let me kiss thy hand. And Lear responding, let me wipe it first. It smells of mortality. Have you guys noticed that we all smell the same? We all smell of mortality. All of us are bound to die. But fear not, Christ is risen. He went before and rose from the dead, and death is not the end for those who believe. Glory lies ahead. What abides exceeds what remains. Burial is necessary, but only temporary. Death is not the last word. That's where 1 Corinthians 15 came in. Did you hear it? The trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised. We will all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. So, I wanted to say the devil in me wanted me to ask a question, but I should never preach on that basis. Have any of you invested in futures? Maybe not. But I want to present for you a future you ought to invest in. Heaven. There's a lot of work to do. We can serve God, we can bless each other, we can reach out to those who are numbered among the elect. Now, I'm not the first pastor who's had to deal with catastrophic circumstances. So I'm going to read to you a quotation from Charles Spurgeon, which is very extensive and a little archaic, but bear with me. I think you'll catch the drift of what he has to say. This is from his sermon, 974, if you want to check the whole thing out. The Holy Spirit leads us to pray for those he intends effectually to call. Moreover, those we pray for, we may not know it, but there may be in their souls at this time a stirring of divine life. Hagar did not know that her son was praying, but God did. It's not recorded that the lad spoke, but God heard his heart cry. Children are often very reticent to their parents. Often and often, I have talked to young lads about their souls who have told me they could not talk to their fathers upon such matters. I know it was so with me. Pause. It was so with me. I did not get to talk to my father about matters of the soul either. End pause. When I was under concern of soul, the last persons I would have elected to speak to upon religion would have been my parents. Not out of want of love to them or absence of love on their part, but it was so. A strange feeling of diffidence pervades a seeking soul and drives it from its friends. Those whom you are praying for may be praying too, and you do not know it. But the time of love will come when their secret yearnings will be revealed to your earnest endeavors. Hit the pause button and let me translate that. Trust that your prayers will be answered. In pause. The lad was preserved after all. The well of waters was revealed and the bottle put to his lips, and it will be a great comfort to you to believe that God will hear importunate prayers. Your child will be saved. Your husband will be brought in yet, good woman. Pray on, pray on. Your neighbor shall be brought to hear the truth and be converted. Only be earnest about it. I do not know how to preach this morning. The tongue cannot readily speak which the heart feels too much. I pray that we might have a great revival of religion in our midst as the church. My spirit longs and pants for it. I see a great engine of enormous strength and a well-fashioned machine. The machine cannot work of itself. It has no power in it. But if I could get the band to unite the machine with the engine, oh, what might be done? Pause button. Have any of you been to a textile mill? Have you noticed the dam which supplied the hydropower? The water pouring over the dam and turning the turbine that turned the shaft. And the shaft would run into the factory, and belts would be attached to it that went to the machines to make the factory work. That's the picture. Everyone got it? Spurgeon is picturing a machine and an engine. End of pause. Behold, I see the omnipotence of God and the organization of this church. Oh, that I could get the band to bind the two together. And that band is living faith. Do you possess it? Brethren, help me to pass it around the flywheel. And oh, how God will work. And we will work through His power. And glorious things shall be done for Christ. We must receive this power from on high. And faith is the belt that shall convey the power to us. Divine strength shall be manifest through our weakness. Do not cease to pray. More than you ever have done. Intercede for a blessing. And God will bless us. God will bless us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. End quote. Then Jesus saw them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled. But immediately, He talked with them. And He said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. People of God, be of good cheer. He is here. Amen." Okay, I promised you a time when you could pray out loud as a congregation. We normally cover this under the